Evening, good evening. Welcome to ATOP, Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, our Monday Manna Bible study. We are here and we are waiting for you to log on. Come on in.
All right. Well, we praise God for each of you. We know that you're tagging and sharing and you're going to be a part of what God has in store. This is a blessed day today. We're one day into spring. Spring started on yesterday. Is that right, Lady Kim?
Started yesterday at 10:33 a.m.
Isn't that something? And so we're excited about the season that's before us and how the seasons change and how God has a way of making everything happen in His time. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing is true with us. Even as we go through various seasons in our lives, there's going to be rain, there's going to be sunshine, there are going to be some bad days, some good days, but we know that God is yet in control. And so I think it's a lot of people have special seasons of the year that they prefer over the other, but you can't get away without having all of them in place, because there's something unique and something different about each season and what it brings. Would you agree with me on
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, absolutely. God made every season in its time. But you know, I don't know, from sometimes you can't tell one season from the next. I know in Memphis we have all four seasons in 1 week. One day it's hot.
That's right.
The next day it's ice storm. The mm-hmm. next day it's cold. The next day it's warm. So, yeah. But anyway,
all right.
This is spring.
That's right. And so we praise God for each of you as you're logging on. We're going to be in Joshua, the 11th and the 12th chapter tonight, and we'll see how much territory we can cover. There's a lot of similarities here in this 11th chapter to the 10th chapter. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see that even as we move into the 12th chapter, that it's almost a continuation of what has already happened in the 10th and the 11th chapters.
Right.
And so we're going to go ahead and get started. We do praise God for each of you. And let's just go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. And we realize and we're clear that in you we live, move, and have our being. And without you, we're absolutely nothing. And so we pray now your blessings to be upon us as we engage in this time together tonight. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. And so we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. Forgive us of our sins and have mercy on us even tonight. And even as we go forth, give us the strength we need. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God, just go ahead and type amen. That's right.
So amen.
We praise God for each of you. And as I said a few minutes ago, we're in chapter 11 of Joshua and also the 12th chapter. And we'll just see how far we're able to move through those particular chapters tonight. All right. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, we'll just get a little refresher on what happened in the worship experience on yesterday. And we hope that each of you had an opportunity to hear the sermon or be a part of the worship experience. If you didn't, Lady Kim is going to share with us just a brief synopsis of what happened in the worship experience on yesterday, a powerful time in the Lord.
Amen. Again, yesterday, it was a part two, really, an extension from last week's sermon entitled A Visible Witness to an Invisible Grace.
Mm-hmm.
A Visible Witness to an Invisible Grace from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 10th verse, just that one verse.
Okay.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me.
Okay.
So God's grace, his abundant grace, is always with us. His invisible grace is always with us. But you know, we're to be a visible witness. But you know, we when we speak of God's grace, you know, it's the inability to reach the mark on our own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't do things in and of ourselves, mm-hmm. but it's by the grace of God that that He allows us to do what we do and accomplish what we accomplish. And the sooner people realize that it's nothing but God's grace that allows us to go from day to day, then we'll be better off.
Okay.
And then God's compassion towards us, you know, His grace abounds towards us because He has had compassion on us.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and He allows us, you know, He looks beyond our faults and He meets every need. So His compassion towards us is ever great and never failing. And then we have to realize that our total dependence is on God.
Right.
And I had written a couple of notes that God's grace is ever present. You know, He walks with us in our trials and our tribulations. Mm-hmm. Whatever we're going through, God is there. You know, God is compassionate, and He won't let us suffer alone. Whatever we're going through, He's there, right there in it with us. And then lastly, but I don't think you got to the last point, is that our lives are fulfilled by God's unmerited favor.
Okay.
And God's favor shines and rains down on us as the people of God. And so it was, I guess you're going to get to that sooner or later, I guess.
Well, the time was really getting away from us yesterday, and the Spirit was moving in such a way till I didn't want to rush that next point, and I just thought I'd lay there for a minute. But just like you said about that fourth point, unmerited favor of God, many people have different definitions of what grace is and how they define it. But one of the things I said about that is that grace is God being available and accessible. Grace is also the character, the essence, and the unmerited favor of God. And so many times, as you've already indicated, Lady Kim, people think that they can achieve things in and of themselves, and oftentimes they find themselves stuck in a rut or stuck in a situation where their resources run out, where their friends might walk away from them. But God, in His compassion toward us, He extends His grace even in a difficult time, and we don't know how we're going to make it out of it. But God will show up in the nick of time, and as the songwriter would say, He may not come when you want Him to, but we have witnesses even out there tonight who knows that He is always
on
an
time.
On-time God. He's an on-time God.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is. And so grace is extended to us. It's nothing that we can do to earn it. It's nothing we can do to achieve it. But it's God's presence. It's God's accessibility. It's God extending Himself in our situations. And I'm so grateful for God's grace, I tell you, because that, as that other song would say, His grace and mercy is what brought me through. And I'm living this moment right now because of what Jesus was able to do through His grace. And I think when we look back over our lives and we begin to see the times when we thought that we were doing it by ourselves and everything else kind of shifted, it was God's grace that sustained us. And during this season of Lent, this Lenten season, if you will, as we prepare for the Easter Resurrection Sunday morning experience, it's all because of God's grace. I think at the communion table, you made a very powerful statement about how God extended His grace to the resurrection, and then by giving us a reminder of that each Sunday when we partake of the Lord's Supper together.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, when Christ died on the cross, that was His visible manifestation of His grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, His visible witness.
That's right.
To mankind, of how much He loved us.
That's right. And so we are placed on display, and I made mention of that on yesterday as well. And God has put us on display so that the world can see how grace operates. And many times people get in those situations where they feel as if no one else is there, but God will show up, and he will, as a result of him showing up, he leaves and deposits within us something that we need to share and be a conduit for others to get an experience about what God can do.
Amen.
And so we need to, I think if we just get a hold of this grace piece, I think the celebration and the Easter experience, Holy Week experience, will really take on new meaning for us as we move forward.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's just a recap from yesterday. And we praise God for each of you tonight. We're going to prepare for the 11th and the 12th chapter of Joshua. But even as Lady Kim is getting ready to read, we want to just share a couple of things that are similarities, if you will. And there are some several striking parallels that can be seen between the two chapters, 10 and 11. Both open with an account of a coalition of kings who opposed Israel invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that last week in the 10th chapter. And we'll see that again in this 11th chapter. Both mention God's help in repelling the attack of the enemy. And we're going to see that come to fruition again. And then we also will see that both accounts describe a decisive battle that's about to take place. And so the children of Israel, they are advancing, they are moving. They are in the south end, and they are moving north in terms of their conquest. And they run up against these kings who are trying to do everything in their power to defeat them. So they had to pull together all of their resources. And in the 10th chapter, we saw where Joshua, after he had defeated what tribes
were
they? That was the
Gibeonites.
Was it the Gibeonites?
The Gibeonites were his allies.
His allies. Mm-hmm. And these were the opposing kings in that territory. And they were attacking the Gibeonites. And Joshua and the children of Israel, they came to their rescue because of the covenant that they had made with them, even though they had tried to pull the cover over Joshua and the children of Israel's eyes by pretending to be something that they were not. But Joshua, in his strong conviction and evidence of God's protection, he honored the covenant that he had made with this people, the Gibeonites, and decided that when they were in battle, they came to their rescue and they defeated the armies, and the kings went into hiding. Three of them did, who had rallied together to be in battle. And as they saw Joshua and the children of Israel defeating them, they went and hid in the cave. And Joshua told his men to go ahead and just roll the stone up, and we'll deal with them after this is over with. And sure enough, after they had defeated the armies, he brought those kings forward, put their foot on their necks, and then let them hang up. I believe he had
them. They hung them.
Until the sun went down.
Yeah.
And then took them down and buried them, cut their heads off, and buried them as a reminder. And all of the other kings, as the children of Israel are progressing now and making their way northward, they are hearing about what is happening. And so we find another rally about to take place in this 11th chapter, and how these kings are trying to pull all of their resources together to defeat Joshua and the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's just kind of a recap to kind of capture this, because what we're going to see as Lady Kim prepares to read, that this is really a descriptive story about the kings, and then it goes into some of the names of those who were working with these kings as they tried to rally to defeat the children of Israel.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
All right.
So we're in the 10th, we're in the 11th and the 12th chapter tonight, for those of you just joining us. And we praise God for each of you. And as you are joining, if there are prayer requests or praise reports, we want to hear those and want to make sure that we will touch and agree and believe God with you for what you are expecting God to do in your situation and your circumstance.
Amen.
So our designated reader is going to begin in the 11th chapter. And part of what's happening now, this is the northern cities. They are being destroyed. And Joshua defeats the local kings who rally against him to conquer the land.
All right. We're in the 11th chapter of Joshua, beginning in verse 1. When Jabin, king of Hazor, heard of all of this, he sent word to Jabin, king of Madon, the king of Shimron, to the king of Ashfoth, to all the kings in the northern mountains, to the kings in the valley south of Kinneret, to the kings of the western foothills and Naphor, Dor, to the Canaanites, both east and west, to the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, and the Jebusites in the hill country, and to the Hivites below Hermon, and to the region of Mizpah. They came out in full force, all their troops massed together, a huge army in number like sand on the ocean beach, to say nothing of all the horses and chariots. All these kings met and set up camp together at the waters of Merom, ready to fight against Israel.
Okay.
God said to Joshua, "Don't worry about them. This time tomorrow, I'll hand them over to Israel all dead. You'll hamstring their horses. You'll set fire to their chariots."
Okay, let's stop there. That's verse number six.
Number eight.
And so we see.
No, six. I'm sorry.
Okay, verse number six. We see that one of the kings, Jabin, I believe is his name, he's really kind of taking the initiative here in establishing how they're going to try and conquer Joshua and the children of Israel. And so he sends out word to all of his forces to come against Joshua, because it's obvious now, Reverend, and it's clear that they are moving at a rapid pace, and they are moving northward, and they are conquering the land. They are conquering the land that God had already promised that they would have. And what was interesting here in that sixth verse is that the Lord reassured Joshua. And he told him not to worry about what was about to happen, because this time tomorrow, he said, "I will deliver them all slain." And you said he said he would do what to the horses?
He would hamstring their
horses
and set the chariots on fire.
Wow. So the reason I want you to stop, Lady Kim, because what we see here is a definite strategy that's in place, and God working with Joshua and the children of Israel. But we also see this king trying to defeat them. But God gives a promise to Joshua and letting him know that he would overcome and he would be victorious. And the reason I want to say that is because many times we find ourselves in situations where it looks like there are more against us than what we have to deal with. And oftentimes we feel as if we're not going to be able to make it, or that we're not going to be able to be victorious. But God will give us a promise, just like he did for Joshua. He will give you a blessed assurance, even in the midst of what looks like a difficult situation, to let you know that, no, this victory shall be yours and you shall overcome. So that's a word for somebody who's listening tonight or watching. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And if God gives you a word, even in the midst of your difficulty, we serve a God who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly, watch this now, above any and everything that we can ever ask or think.
Amen.
So you be encouraged. I don't know who that word is for, but I just felt that leap off the page. You be encouraged and trust the timing of God in your situation.
Amen.
So we're in Joshua, the 11th chapter, and we've already read the first six verses, and Lady Kim is getting ready to pick up now at verse number 7. Yes. You see any comments there?
Yeah, Brother Martez says verse 6 is so important when he said to Joshua, be not afraid of what's about to happen. God's goodness and mercy. God's goodness and mercy is all we need as Christians to help us walk by faith and not by sight.
That's
in
good.
Every situation.
That's good.
Yes.
Okay.
All so right. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. As you mentioned before, you know, it looks like all the odds are stacked against us.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we have to remember that God is on our side.
That's right.
You know, and I tell our girls all the time, if you do right by God, God will do right by you.
That's it.
So just make sure you're doing right by God. Amen. And he'll mm-hmm. fight your battle every time.
That's right. That's
yes,
right.
He will. You know, and what amazed me was how all these forces, all these armies, all these kings were gathering together, gathering their forces together to come against Joshua and the Israelites. But God said, don't worry about
them.
Don't
even worry about
them. I got this.
That's right.
You know, you just go on and do what I told you to do.
That's right.
And the amazing thing was Joshua was doing exactly what God told him to do. He didn't veer to the left nor to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we hear God speak a word to us and tell us to do something, we want to put our little touch on it or uh-oh. Add our little flavor to it.
And get ahead of God.
And it messes things up. And God will say, tell you, I didn't tell you to do that.
That's
I didn't
right.
tell you to go there. So we need to do exactly what God tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do, we'll win that battle every
victory
time.
Victory shall be ours.
Yes, it will.
That's right. That's good. That's good. Well, we're in Joshua, the 11th chapter. Sister Marcia, she said that word was for her tonight. And it's good to see you on tonight. And we praise God for each of you who are on tonight. And we have another host that's on the streaming side. And we praise God for each of you as well. And so Lady Kim is going to begin reading now at verse number 7 mm-hmm. of the 11th chapter of Joshua.
Okay. And says, Joshua, his entire army with him, took them by surprise, talking about all those kings that had camped together to come
mm-hmm,
against them.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua's army took them by surprise, falling on them at the waters of Merom. God gave them to Israel, who struck and chased them all the way to Greater Sidon, to Misparoth, Miam, and then on to the valley of Mizpah, and on the east. No survivors. Joshua treated them following God's instructions. He hamstrung their horses. He burned up their chariots. Then Joshua came back and took Hazor, killing its king.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, Hazor had been head of all these kingdoms. They killed every person there, carrying out the holy curse. Not a breath of life left anywhere. Then he burned down Hazor. Joshua captured and massacred all the royal towns with their kings. The holy curse commanded by Moses, the servant of God. But Israel didn't burn the cities that were built on mounds except for Hazor. Joshua did burn down Hazor. The people of Israel plundered all the loot, including the cattle, from these towns for themselves. But they killed the people, total destruction. They left nothing human that breathed. Just as God had commanded his servant Moses, so Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did it. He didn't leave incomplete one thing that God had commanded Moses.
Okay. What verse is that?
15.
Okay. You want to stop there or you want to continue?
It's up to you.
Well, I think one of the keys that you just expressed is obedience indeed brings the reward.
Yeah.
Because many times, as you already indicated, Lady Kim, we can try to get ahead of God, or we can decide to put our own spin on what we think ought to happen and not wait on God to bring deliverance. But if you're obedient to God, if you follow the mandate and what God has laid out for us in order for us to be victorious, then no weapon that's formed against us shall be able to prosper. And so the victory shall be ours. And so I see that coming out here, because Joshua really is setting forth a very strategic plan as it relates to the strategy that he's using. But first and foremost, he's following God's directive and following it to the T, mm-hmm. so that he can be victorious.
And you know, one of the things that stood out for me was that Joshua was so in tune with Moses, because mm-hmm. God had given Moses the plan and the command.
Right.
But Joshua was able to carry it out and do exactly what God had commanded Moses to do. Joshua was able to complete it.
That's right. That's right. All right, so we're in the 11th chapter of Joshua, and we praise God for those of you who are joining us. And Lady Kim left off at verse number 15, mm-hmm. and so we're going to pick it up at verse 15. And I think there are about 23 verses here in this chapter, if you want to go ahead and read through verse 15. And we want to receive your comments. If you have comments or if there are questions, you can go ahead and type them in the comment box so that we can reply.
All right, verse number 16. Joshua took the whole country, the mountains, the southern desert, all of Goshen, the foothills, the valley, and the Israel mountains with their foothills, from Mount Halak, which towers over the reign of Seir, all the way to Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, in the shadows of Mount Hermon. He captured their kings and then killed them. Joshua fought against these kings for a long time. Not one town made peace with the people of Israel, with the one exception of the Hivites who lived in Gibeon. Israel fought and took all the rest. It was God's idea that they all would stubbornly fight the Israelites so he can put them under the holy curse without mercy. That way, he could destroy them just as God had commanded Moses. Joshua came out at that time also to root out the Anakim from the hills, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from the mountains of Judah, from the mountains of Israel. Joshua carried out the holy curse on them and their cities. No Anakim were left in the land of the people of Israel, except in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. There were a few left there. Joshua took the whole region. He did everything that God had told Moses. Then he parceled it out as an inheritance to Israel according to their tribes, and Israel had rest from war.
Okay. Had rest from war. Is that what it said?
Yes. Uh-huh. That was, war was over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were resting for a right. period of time.
And mm-hmm. so we see a very vivid description of what's happening here, and we see the strategy. We see Joshua being obedient to God. And I think one of the things that we can learn from this particular chapter, the 11th chapter, is that success lies in obedience to the Lord's command, and that even if we're going to be victorious and successful, we have to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not into our own understanding. That's really what we've been talking about, in all of our ways, not just some of our ways, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he's promised to direct our path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Enemies will come. Just because we won one victory or two victories doesn't mean that the enemy is going to sit back and splendor isolation and allow you to continue to go forward. It upsets the enemy when he sees a child of God who's being obedient and following the mandate that God has laid out for us. And he gets even more aggressive when he sees that you are following it to a T.
Amen.
And so don't grow weary. The battle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord.
Amen. And that's awesome that they did not grow weary, that they believed God. And mm-hmm. so they continued to forge ahead.
That's right.
And, you know, history repeats itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we see the same things now that, you know, a country or a nation coming against a smaller country is trying to overtake it. But, you know, if God be for you, who can be against
that's
you?
Right.
Hold on, Ukraine, and hold out. Amen. Hold on and hold out. Help is on the way.
That's right. Well, anything else you see in terms of just a handle or two that we can apply to this 11th chapter as we prepare to move into the 12th?
Well, it looks like, you know, what I can see, that success lies in obedience to the Lord's command.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the size of their military army, such as the number of horses or the number of chariots. You know, those horses and chariots can make a whole lot of noise.
That's right.
But, you know, they can't not defeat God when God is on your side.
Okay, okay. That's good. Because a lot of people think it's in the numbers. But if God is on your side, he's greater than any of the numbers that the enemy might try to come against you.
Yeah. And you know, we've seen in other chapters of Joshua where they made a lot of noise and the enemy turned on each other. You know, they killed each other because they thought that that their own people were the enemy.
That's right.
So God can even confuse or confound the enemy
okay.
on your behalf.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, that's the 11th chapter of Joshua. We're going to move into the 12th chapter tonight. As we, I think there are about 24
verses, I think.
24 verses. And we were to do all of that, part of it?
All of it.
Okay.
We're moving into 13 next
okay.
week.
Next week we'll be going to 13, so.
13 and 14.
Okay. So let's go ahead and see how much of that we can cover. And we still have enough time, I believe, to get through this 12th chapter. What do you think?
We do, because the end of the 12th chapter, you know, just where it talks about how many kings were defeated and the areas that were defeated. So I have a brief summary. It says verses 1 through 6 is a list of the kings on the east side of the Jordan River whose cities were destroyed by the Israelites. Verse 7 introduces the list of kings destroyed by Joshua and their armies of Israel on the west side of the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And verses 8 through 24 reveal the people who lived there, the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites.
Okay.
And the names of the 31 kings who were destroyed and their cities. And then there's a list of all the kings and the lands of the children of Israel conquered and possessed. These lands were on the east side of the Jordan side that borders the children of Amnon. So, you know, that's what chapter 12 is going to cover.
Okay, okay. So you're going to go ahead and start reading that?
Sure.
Is that that's the plan?
That's the plan.
All right.
All right, where you want me to stop?
Well, it's 24 verses.
Yes.
We can go ahead and read half of it, and okay. I think you've already laid out a summary of what we are to expect as you move through.
Okay, well, let's start with the defeated kings.
Okay.
All right? All these ites. You know, they have all these ites in there. We're in chapter 12 of Joshua, beginning with the first verse. These are the kings that the people of Israel defeated and whose land they took on the east side of Jordan from Arnon Gor to Mount Hermon with the whole eastern side of the Arnon Valley. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned from Heshbon, his rule extended from Aor, which sits at the edge of the Arnon Gor, from the middle of the Gor and over half of Gilead to the Gor of Jabbok River, which is the border of the Ammonites.
Mm-hmm.
His rule included the eastern Arbath Valley from the Sea of Kinnereth to the Arabeth Sea, the Salt Sea, eastward towards Beth Jeshmalu, and southward to the slopes of Pisgah. I see why you had me reading this.
No, I asked you. That's why I asked you. You said you were going to read it. I said, all right. But there's a lot of, we're in the 12th chapter. of Joshua, for those of you who are just joining us. And Lady Kim is about verse number 4. I think you read the first 3 verses,
yes.
Right? And it's really descriptive in terms of these kings and their titles and their names and where they dwell. But it's also laying out the foundation for us, how Joshua is defeating these kings who had rallied their forces to try to overtake the children of Israel, but they were not able to be victorious.
Amen. So we're at verse number 4. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord with these names. But I'm pretty good at phonetically sounding them out. Verse number 4. And Og, king of Bashan, one of the last of the Rephaims, who reigned from Ashtaroth and Edrei. His rule extended from Mount Hermon and Salcoth over the whole of Bashan to the border of the Geshmaruth and the Maccathes, the other half of Gilead.
You making up stuff now, brother, but that's all right. Go ahead.
To the border of Sion.
So you're going to be speaking
King
in tongues tonight when you're asleep. While you're in there. I'm going to have to wake you up tonight. You're going to be still remembering of that and speaking in tongues. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, you go ahead, B.
No, read.
You read.
No, I'll give you the description of, I'll give you the summary of what's happening.
Yeah, right, because you don't have to read all these names. All right, we have verse number 6. I got it, though. Y'all, I got it on it, y'all. All right. Okay. Moses, the servant of God, and the people of Israel defeated them. And Moses, the servant of God, gave this land as an inheritance to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half of the tribe of Manasseh. I got those wrong. And these are the kings of the land that Joshua and the people of Israel defeated in the country west of Jordan, from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, south of Mount Halak, which towers over Seir. Joshua gave this land to the tribe of Israel as a possession, according to their divisions: land in the mountains, the western foothills, the Arabath Valley on the slopes, and in the wilderness of the Negev Desert, lands on which the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites had lived. We coming to a close right here. The kings were, the king of Jericho won. The king of Ai near Bethel won. The king of Jerusalem won. The king of Hebron won. The king of Jarmuth won. The king of Lachish won. The king of Eglon won. The king of Gezer won. The king of Debir won. The king of Gedar won. The king of Harmoth won. The king of Arad won. The king of Libna won. The king of Adullam won. The king of Markedah won. The king of Bethel won. The king of Tapula won. The king of Hepher won. The king of Aphek won. The king of Lasharon won. The king of Madon won. The king of Hazar won. The king of Shimron, Mehron won. The king of Ashshaf won. The king of Tanakh won. The king of Megiddo won. The king of Kadesh won. The king of Jeconim in Carmel won. The king of Dor, Naphor Dor won. The king of Goyim in Gilgal won. The king of Tizer won. A total of 31 kings. Yes! I read that! I did that thing!
Read. Somebody say read, Lady Kim.
Dr. Crystal said read it, Lady Kim. I did that thing.
That was the 12th chapter, I tell you. It's how many kings was it? 31
kings.
And their cities.
Yes.
Were all destroyed.
Yes.
And they called them out by name. Isn't that something?
They conquered them with God's help. God told them, I got your back. Go in there and get it done.
That's right. That's right. And so this is a powerful reminder and a powerful lesson for us, even as we see how Joshua was willing to be obedient. He followed the instructions that God had given. He did not try to do it his way. He that's did right. it God's way. Mm-hmm. And that's a lesson for us, even as we are up against armies and we're up against the enemy that we don't completely understand. And many times when we look at it in the natural, it seems as if the numbers are greater than mm-hmm. what we might have. But with God on your side and the Holy Spirit as your guide, you always come out victorious.
Amen.
For greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world.
That's the word.
And so no weapon that's formed against you shall be able to prosper. Mm-hmm. So we have to trust God even when it looks like things are stacked against us and it looks like it's an unfavorable report. God has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end.
Yes, Lord.
And so this lesson here, I think, in this 12th chapter really kind of helps us to understand that we have to listen to God. We have mm-hmm. to listen to the Lord's warnings as well as his judgments on others. And then we have to learn from our listening.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
We have to learn from our listening. We can't just hear God's voice and then decide we're going to take off and do it the way we think we ought to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Any other comments there that's going forward?
Thank you, Dr. Crystal. She says she slides into Bible study at the correct time.
That's right. That's right. That's
yes,
right.
You do. but no, and it's true, you know, and when you were talking about listening, mm-hmm. there's a difference between listening and hearing.
Okay.
You know, I hear sounds all the time, but I'm able to tune it out.
Mm-hmm.
Listening means that you comprehend mm-hmm. what's being said.
Okay.
So when you listen, you know, when you listen to God, that means you comprehend and understand what God is saying, and then you act according to what God
That's
has
good.
Told you.
That's good.
So the reason Joshua was able to defeat his enemy is because he listened to what God said. Mm-hmm, he comprehended. Mm-hmm. The young people said he understood the assignment.
He understood
the assignment.
He
understood the assignment that was given to Moses.
That's good.
And because he understood the assignment that was given to Moses, Joshua was able to defeat his enemies.
Mm-hmm. So we have to understand the assignment that God gives us. And make sure that we follow it to the T. We don't veer to the left or to the right. But we trust God even when we can't trace him, even when it looks like things are stacked against us. And I want to continue to say that because you never know where people are. It might be a financial mountain where it looks like things are just not going to work out. It can be a medical report where people are really leery and frustrated and weary about how it's going to turn out. I know you shared with me earlier, and I tell you, that was really a sad situation. I don't know if you want to share it or not, but you can, about one of the parents who had called you today.
Mm-hmm.
But and then Tiara came in and shared some information with us about this horrible accident that happened over the spring break with it was supposed to be a girl's trip, and the mother, I believe, wanted...
The mother and the daughter and the...
Grandchild.
Granddaughter. Yes.
They all wanted to go out and have some time together on their way back to Nashville. And they got in a real horrible accident in Alabama, I believe she said. Mm-hmm. And the granddaughter died.
Yeah, 11 years old.
And the mother and the daughter are still in critical care in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of being obedient to God and just trying to stay in step with the will of God for our lives, because tomorrow is not promised and we don't know what lies ahead, but we know that if we trust God and we hold on to his unchanging hand, that we can face our tomorrows and we can overcome the situation that we find ourselves in.
Mm-hmm. I like what Sister Gwen Staples said. She said, most of the time we listen to respond, not to understand.
That's good. That's
and
good.
So, you mm-hmm. know, my mother and my grandmother really used to say, that's why God gave you two ears and one mouth.
Mm.
So you can be quicker to listen than than to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to learn how to listen, so that we can understand what is really being said and not listen to respond, but listen to understand. I like that, Sister Gwen.
Yeah, that's real good.
Amen.
And the word says, he that hath an ear,
let him hear.
Let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord God is saying unto the church. So we need to listen and make sure that we listen to respond, mm-hmm. not to just understand.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any prayer requests or praise reports for this evening? I don't see any yet on the line, on the feed. If you have any, please type them in so we can begin lifting them up. Pastor mentioned I got a disturbing call today at work. One of the most disheartening calls I've received in the 8 years I've been doing this job of assigning homebound teachers to students who are medically ill and unable to attend school. I had a parent to call seeking homebound services for her son, mm-hmm. who is a senior in high school. In February, they found him unresponsive in his room. They rushed him to the hospital, and they found out he was in a diabetic coma. Mm. They did not know that the young man had diabetes, but he was in a diabetic coma for 20-something days. And once he came out of the coma last Thursday, he had his feet amputated, and last Friday, he had both hands amputated. So I want to lift up that family in prayer tonight. That has weighed heavy on me all day today. Devastating to find your child unresponsive and then find out, what the diagnosis is and then what has to transpire. I asked the mother how the child was doing. She said he was in good spirits. I asked the mother how she was doing, and she said she admitted that she was struggling, but she was trying to stay positive for her child.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do all that we can to see that this young man graduates. This is his 12th grade, his senior year in high school, and everything was fine up until January, February. She said in January he got COVID, and then his immune system began to break down, and they think that the diabetes was onset by the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, things just kind of spiraled out of control. But I'm lifting up that family in prayer on tonight, as well as lifting up Brother Charles Reynolds and his family and
that's
the loss
right.
of his mother, Sister Julia Reynolds, a wonderful woman of God. That funeral was on this past Saturday. It was a beautiful service.
It was.
She was 96 years old.
96 years old.
And the stories that they told about Mother Reynolds, you could just see her. If you didn't know her, you felt like you knew her once you left the funeral.
That's right. That's right.
So praying for that family. Brother Darrell says he's doing great in his treatment.
Praise God.
Praying for you, Brother Darrell. God bless you. Thank you for being on tonight. And all those who are on the line on tonight, we appreciate you being on the line.
Any other prayer requests coming through that we might see?
I didn't see any. Just prayers going up, I guess, for the young man that I was speaking about on today. You know, he's been on my heart and mind all day, as well as his mother. You could feel that heaviness in mm-hmm. her voice and that brokenness in her heart. But we know God to be a healer. And she said that he has an awesome medical team, and that medical team within 3 weeks is going to start with some prosthetics, some prosthesis for this young man. So we're praying that God, do a miracle in his life.
That's
because
right.
we
That's
know
right.
God can.
That's right.
You know, the miracle of medicine, the miracle of technology that has been going forth in the recent years is astounding. So we're just lifting that young man up.
That's right, because the technology and the way things are now, he has a tough road ahead of him, but we're praying that he comes out and he understands where he is and what he has to do going forward. And we're believing that he's going to be an awesome young man.
Amen.
In the future, even with, you know, all of the surgeries and everything and the rehab that he needs to do as he prepares to move forward.
Amen. Amen. All right. Any other, more praise reports or prayer requests?
Is that somebody is asking for prayer?
Pray for those Arkansas families impacted by the shooting at the car show. Had not heard about that, but we will certainly lift them up. Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The car show shooting. Okay. All right.
And the family that Tiara had mentioned, she didn't give us a name, but praying for that mother and for that daughter. The granddaughter was lost in this horrible accident on their way back home from spring break, headed to Nashville, and was involved in a very devastating accident in Alabama, I believe she mm-hmm. said, and they're still mm-hmm. in hospital in Alabama. And we'll be lifting that family up. I think they had a visual, she said,
on yesterday.
Yesterday for yes. this family in Nashville.
Amen. Okay. All right. If there are none others, we're going to go to God in prayer. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. I can't think of any pressing things for this coming weekend. I know our ministry fair is going to take place on the first Sunday in April. Mm-hmm. So all of our ministries need to be prepared to display what their ministry has to offer. Mm-hmm. And that'll be the first Sunday in April. All right. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our voices and our hearts to you in prayer. We ask tonight, Father God, that you would look after the family, oh God, the families of those that were impacted by the shooting at the car show in Arkansas, God. We know that those families have been devastated by what happened there, but we know, God, that you can comfort and heal those people. We lift up, oh God, the family that was in the accident on the way home from spring break. We lift up, oh God, the young man whose mother I spoke with today. We lift up, oh God, all those who are sick, shut in, suffering, oh God, from different ailments and conditions. We ask you to step in with your hand of grace and mercy, God, and touch those with your powerful hand of love. We thank you today, God, for allowing us an opportunity to study your word and to see how your word, oh God, lines up with our lives today, and how it can move us from where we are to where you want us to
yes,
be.
God. Yes, God.
We thank you for every person who has been on Bible study tonight, God, and we ask that you would continue to bless us as we go forward and learn your word and study your word, God. And we pray, oh God, for our regional minister today, God. We pray for the region of Tennessee. We pray for every church, every pastor, God. We ask, oh God, that you would touch every pastor, give them directions and directive on how they are to lead your people, God. God, we need you in our churches.
We need you in our lives.
We need you.
Yes,
God. We need to see your powerful hand move on our behalf. We're trusting and believing that you can do anything but fail.
Thank you, God.
So we thank you tonight, God. And we bless you, God. We thank you for Brother Darrell's healing tonight, God, for you continuing to allow his therapy to go well,
thank
God.
You, God.
We thank you, God. You, oh God, for Sister Deborah and her patience, oh God. We thank you for her steadfastness, oh God. Continue, God, to bind them together as one. And then continue to strengthen us as a church family,
yes, God.
God.
Yes, God.
Continue, oh God, to keep us in the hollow of your hand. Continue, oh God, to keep us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And we'll be ever mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that's due your holy name. As we close this prayer on tonight, God. We ask that you would be with us and keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And praise God. All right. Powerful time tonight. And next week we'll be in the 13th chapter.
I 13th believe. And 14th.
13 and 14 yes. on next week. So that's Joshua. So go ahead and read ahead as we prepare for that time together on next week. Had a powerful time even after service this Sunday, yesterday, with the health department in conjunction with vaccinations were available for all who needed them and boosters as well. And we had a good showing, and they gave away some
goodie bags.
That's right. That's right.
They said they vaccinated about 22 people, and they gave away over 70 goodie bags yesterday.
Yeah.
So that was great,
yeah.
A great time. And we want to thank our health ministry, mm-hmm. Sister Michelle and Sister Maria Todd, who spearheaded that.
That's right.
It was an awesome event. And, you know, if we could just get one more person vaccinated
right.
or boosted, it was well worth the effort.
Absolutely.
So we just thank everybody that came out and that all those who participated on
those
yesterday.
Who canvassed the neighborhood on
yes,
Saturday, too.
They said about,
15
people mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. canvassed the neighborhood passing out information on Saturday. Thank you so much, men and women of God, who put boots on the ground.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
and
that's
make
right.
ministry move. God bless you all. We thank you on tonight for being with us. Those on the streaming side, we love you too, even
bless
though we
you.
Can't see you or see your comments. We feel you with us.
That's right.
And we know that you will continue to support us, and we thank you for being there.
That's right. All right. Till next time, be blessed.
Bless you. Bye-bye.